Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Neither Peter J. Deruta or his guests are liable for the usage of information discussed. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.
Hi, this is Coach Pete, and if you've got questions about how to safely and properly allocate your investments, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Financial Safari.
Broadcasting from coast to coast, it's the Financial Safari with your host, Coach Pete Deruta. Coach Pete and his guests are some of the nation's top financial professionals. They make it their mission to guide investors through the treacherous jungle of the financial world, showing them how to grow, keep, and leave their money for their loved ones. Coach Pete is a frequent contributor to Fox Business Network, CNBC, The Wall Street Journal, and many other news outlets. They come to Coach Pete for their answers, and now so can you. So stick around and find out how to make it through the jungle of the financial world on The Financial Safari.
And it is The Financial Safari. I'm Kit Fitzsimmons here with one of our consumer advocates, Thomas Lipscomb, and our national best-selling author, Coach Pete Deruta. How are you doing today, guys?
Doing well, Kit. Thank you.
Doing well. I'm doing great. I copied your word, didn't I? So I can't do that. I'm doing great out here. Hey, you know, it's October. You go into the stores, you see the Halloween candy. You buy the Halloween candy, you take it home, you open it before trick-or-treat. You have to go back and buy some more. Don't you? It's happening to me.
Exactly. Ain't it the truth?
Hey, the secret that I did years ago, my wife usually buys the candy, and then she knew I would eat it before Halloween.
Right.
So she would hide it from me, but then I would find it. You know, like one of those ants that finds any little piece of food in your house, an ant will find, right?
Well, you know, Coach, that just means you have to double down as well.
But, you know, what I did is once you discovered that I found it, I would put a little hole in the bottom of the bag and take the candy out the bottom so the bag stayed there. And I fooled her so bad one time that I actually had to run out on Halloween Day to buy more candy when she discovered what Coach Pete had done.
Oh, hilarious.
So this is my confessional of the day.
Well, speaking of heading out to the store, we're talking about anti-steering today. Now, anti-steering is something that American Express had been doing for years, where they had higher fees than other credit cards and had been noticing that merchants had been sort of steering customers in the direction of other cards, mm-hmm. the cards with lower fees
right.
for the merchants,
yeah.
even offering discounts for those who did. And so American Express started putting in anti-steering verbiage in their merchant agreements. But in 2010, the Justice Department sued them successfully and got them to stop doing that. And just this month, a federal appeals court ruled that American Express can keep business as usual when it comes to anti-steering. They've put it back
wow.
on. They're allowed to say, you're not allowed to steer people away from our card.
So you're saying that now you can say, like American Express can say, you have to use our card? Is that what you're saying?
Well, what they can say is you're not allowed to give discounts or recommend that people use other cards.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That is crazy.
I mean, American Express is overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I take American Express in our office and I hate it because they double my fees as a merchant that I pay when I take it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a free country. I think you should be allowed to tell people what they can and can't use or give them discounts to go other places. It's sort of like when you give a cash discount at the gas station. Remember, there's a cash and credit price,
right.
and there still is.
There is, yes.
For a lot of truckers because they have these gigantic diesel tanks, right? So
yep.
the merchant tries to give a discount for cash because they don't want to pay that merchant fee.
Exactly.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's government gone wild again, isn't it?
It is.
Government was doing good. Now it's doing bad.
You got to watch out for that. We're looking out for you every single week here on the Financial Safari. Now, if you have a question or would like to qualify for a no-cost consult with a local financial coach, call Coach Pete's personal hotline now, and he'll get you in touch with your local financial coach. 800-604-1099. Again, that's 800-604-1099. And we've got a great interview with your local financial coach coming up on the Financial Safari.
Did you know that you might save thousands of dollars by rolling your IRA into a Roth? To see if it would help you or to find out more great retirement planning suggestions, visit FinancialSafari.com. That's FinancialSafari.com.
Folks, this is the time of the show where we go out around the world and find someone who's interesting to me and is making a difference or has made a, written a book or been on TV. And there's a great show on the National Geographic Channel called Wicked Tuna. And it's filmed right on the Outer Banks in North Carolina, which, folks, that's a dangerous place to be out on the water if you don't know what you're doing. And we've got a guy from the show Wicked Tuna on. His name is Captain Greg Mayer, and he's on joining us live here on the show to talk about the reality show, the aspects of what goes into that, and how he plans to, I mean, he's won 2 years in a row, and how he puts that plan together to, because I hear about fishing being a lot of luck, but there's a lot of skill involved in that too. Greg, welcome in.
Oh, thanks, Coach. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Now, anyone who eats tuna probably should be thankful to people like you, right?
That's true, but most of the fish that we catch are not the tuna that most people eat. Generally, all the bluefin that we catch are for sushi markets. So unless you go to a sushi market or you go to Japan, you're probably not going to get it in your local supermarket.
What?
You know, most of what goes in a supermarket would be yellowfin, and that's not what we're catching on the show. We catch the bluefin, the bigger, higher quality fish.
I see on your show every now and then the yellowfin will bite, so they'll bring them into the boat. I mean, you won't throw them out. That's good. That's good eating later on the show, isn't it? You guys,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
Now,
yep, yeah, we.
When you bring these gigantic blue fins in, and I've seen them, they weigh them, they cut them, they basically arrive at a good quality and give you a price. There's a lot of negotiating there that we probably don't see when the guy just gives you a price. And if you think the tuna is better than what they're thinking or what they're saying, you have some playroom in that, don't you?
Well, yes and no. I mean, ultimately, when the fish goes to market in Japan, that determines the price. The prices that we're getting from the buyer on the dock is an indication of what the price should do at market, and that's it's a hard way to do it, to portray that to everybody. But what it is, it's every fish has a different fat content, a different quality, and ultimately the buyer looks at it, and based on the quality, he will give you a price. And I've had really, really good fish that I've gotten terrible money for, and I've had really bad fish that I've gotten decent money for. A lot of it is like any other market. It's supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
There's a lot of fish on the market one day. You can have a great fish, but if it's not a perfect, you know, A number one fish, you're not going to get the big money for it. Or you can have a low-quality fish on a soft market and actually do pretty well.
So you guys bring the fish in, they weigh it, they give you your money, and then they take it. And what do? They fly it to Japan that night?
Generally, within 24 hours, the fish will fly out. But a lot of that has to do with the auction. I believe there's either three or four auctions a week in Japan. Hmm. And based on what day you catch your fish, it doesn't make sense for them to rush the fish to the airport, send it over there to have it sit for 2 days in Japan before it sells. So they may hold it for a day, or sometimes they'll hold it as long as 4 or 5 days here before they ship it. And it's all based on market conditions and when the market's open. And that's why we deal with the buyers we deal with. That's their job. We catch the fish, they sell them, and get the best money for them.
Well, let's talk about you for a minute. How long have you been fishing?
Oh, I've been fishing forever. I started fishing as a little kid. And actually, my first job was, I was 14, so it was 36 years ago, 37 years ago now, I guess. And I've been working on different boats ever since. I've actually been on the Frenzy now for 17 years. I started in 99.
It's a long time on a boat.
That's been my longest stint in one spot for a long time.
Now, how long have you been fishing tuna?
Oh, God, I've been fishing tuna probably since I was since I was about 16, 17 years old. So as long as I've been catching anything. When I first started working on private boats, the guys that I worked for, one guy in particular, was one of the, I consider him one of the pioneers of bluefin fishing. A lot of the things that we do now, a lot of the things that I still do now as far as rigging, he and I were doing 30 years ago. You know, and it really hasn't changed. The line has changed a little bit, the tackle's changed a little bit, but the actual rigging, you know, he came up with it and I copied it, and, you know, I had some great teachers, so it really helped me out.
Well, you've done a great job on the show. We hear this phrase every now and then, fishing is in my blood. Can you explain that?
You know something? I've been fishing my entire life since I was a little kid. I'm lucky enough to make a living at it. There's some people who would love to do our job, but you got to commit to it full time. And I do. I mean, I'm on the boat all the time. I can't imagine what else I would be doing if I wasn't fishing. I'd probably be working on a boat somewhere, doing something, boat repair, working in a boatyard. Hey, like you said, it's in my blood. It's something I've always done. I could never see myself being away from it.
Is there going to be a season four?
I believe there is. Yeah, I'm not sure right yet, but I'm pretty certain we're probably going to do one more season.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching that. And, folks, again, his name was Captain Greg Mayer. He is, again, from the National Geographic Wicked Tuna Outer Banks show. Greg, thanks for your time today.
All right, thank you.
Folks, if you want to hear this interview again or listen to it in its entirety, you can go to financialsafari.com, click on that As Heard on the Show icon. We'll be right back after this.